Welcome to the High Velocity Radio Show, where we celebrate top performers producing better results in less time. I'm your host, Stone Payton, and in the studio with me this morning is my good friend and co-host, Lee Cantor. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Stone. How was your weekend?
It was marvelous. We had the egg fighting ritual, as we always do. Kelly won, as she often does, and we had a very relaxing day. Of course, we caught the Ten Commandments the night before. But I tell you what I've been thinking about all weekend is this remote broadcast that we're going to be doing at the Eventoract event later in the week.
That's right, at the America's Mart for all the meeting planners out there in the city. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Oh, it's going to be a blast. As many of our listeners know, not only do we have a variety of business-oriented shows across four studios here in Atlanta in studio, but we also get a chance to go out on the road from time to time and in an environment of a conference, either on behalf of the conference or on behalf of individual exhibitors, we get to conduct interviews. And we're going to be doing that for 2 days solid, right?
That's right.
So it's going to be a lot of fun, but I don't think it's going to be any more fun than what we're doing this morning. This is going to be a fantastic segment. First up on the High Velocity Radio Show this morning, we have with us the Chief Operating Officer with Signature Bank of Georgia, Mr. Charles Hogue. And in tow with him is also the Managing Director, SBA VP, Signature Bank of Georgia, Miss Melanie Brown. Welcome to the show, gang.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having us.
Well, we are delighted to have you. I think I'll start with Melanie because SBA, as you might imagine, with a business-oriented platform like we have, we hear about lending and the Small Business Administration so much. Get us caught up. What's happening in that world these days?
It's a very active world for lending. The activity as far as SBA has very much increased in the last couple of years with even the larger banks getting into the game. In the past, you had a lot of smaller lenders that participated in the program. Currently, you can find almost all the banks. And so what you want to look for is dealing with a lender who has expertise in managing the application process. A lot of times you can get lost in the shuffle because there is some detailed paperwork that's maybe a little bit more involved than a conventional loan would require. So I always suggest you really make sure you're dealing with a very experienced SBA lender.
Now, can you share some advice for people who may be going through this for the first time? Is there any do's and don'ts you can share?
As in any dealing with any lender?
With you guys, if I want an SBA loan, like we have this business radio platform, we're looking to expand in other markets. We've never had a loan before. Is there anything I should do or not do?
Just be prepared when you meet with your lender. Provide full disclosure. Mm-hmm. Having up-to-date current financial statements is going to be critical. Personal financial statements as well as your tax returns on your self as well as the business. If you're doing an expansion, be prepared to have a business plan with projections. Mm-hmm. And just come in, be ready to explain it to your lender and provide all the facts. Be able to detail how you're going to use the funds, what equity you're bringing to the table, and just kind of go from there.
Now, is this the time frame on this whole process? Is this 30 days, 60 days, a year? How long does it typically take?
Generally, 60 days. And if there's real estate involved, you might want to just project out for 90 days, mm-hmm. just because you have to rely on some third-party reports that after you get the loan approved are going to take 4 to 5 weeks.
Now, is the money a little tighter these days or not? So not if you have your ducks in a row? Or
it depends on the request. I would say overall, SBA has gotten a little bit tighter. Their due diligence has increased, mm-hmm. And that is because there has been an increase in defaults because of the economy over the last couple of years. So they are looking at files a little bit more critical, especially if there's projection-based financials. They're really looking to make sure that there's assumptions to those projections and very well documented that the lender can understand them and be able to explain those in the write-up.
Now, is it wise to seek out one of these third-party kind of advisor-type folks? Because there's a little cottage industry just around helping people like us, like the example Lee. Mm-hmm. Is that a good move?
Absolutely. There's some very good brokers out there that specialize in SBA lending, and they can help you put together a very good package for the lender because they know what a lender's looking for.
Right.
There's also small business development centers that are located at all the universities, Georgia State University, Kennesaw State University, Clayton, University of Georgia, that provide free assistance.
And
they actually will help prepare the business plan and the projections, and they know – exactly what the lender's looking for as well. So if somebody comes to us, a lot of times, and they're not very well prepared, we will refer them to one of the SBDCs as well.
Now, Charles, can you talk a little bit about your involvement with the bank? And during that, can you share the difference between a community bank and a regular bank?
Sure, I'd be happy to. And before I do, I just want to piggyback quickly on some things Melanie was saying with respect to the SBA, because as you're interfacing with folks on this show and others, you may hear some folks feeling as though the SBA program has limitations or it's time consuming or anything else, but it is a very valuable resource. And if there are misperceptions out there that have been perpetuated by others through gossip or anything else, perhaps they really don't know the real deal. Because when you're dealing with a seasoned professional like Melanie, it really can be the absolute right tool for helping an entity realize its goals. And so that is critical to remember. And one other organization that can assist, and I know Melanie makes referrals to them as well, is SCORE, which is a group of retired executives. And they provide voluntary counseling to help folks that have maybe never started a business or have ideas about expansion and need some guidance. And it's a complimentary resource within the community as well.
Well, I'll tell you what, I would find that very attractive. A retired executive, been there, done that,
absolutely,
knows the ropes, knows what kind of questions to ask, would hold our feet to the fire in preparation so that we're more prepared to take the next. That, to me, that's very attractive.
That's right. So sorry to digress from the question, but relative to my role, I'm the chief administrative officer for the bank and started with a team of folks in 2005 to bring Signature Banking to the community. And to the question about what's the difference between regional banking and the community bank space, if you will, the large difference comes down to service. And in fact, that's where our mission starts. And so many banks can say it's all about service, but the fact is, do they deliver? And when we chose as a bank to make the investment in Melanie and another gentleman, Augustus, they bring a passion for service that is just not found in the other players within the space. And we don't say we make it personal as a trite expression. It's something we take seriously. So when someone comes into our bank, they're going to be greeted immediately. And if we find the right solution for them from a checking account perspective, for example, then they're walking out the door with their debit card, with their checks, and with a signature chocolate, ready to do banking with us.
I mean, we all giggle a little bit about the chocolate, but those little touches, they mean a lot, and it's just more symbolic of a deeper relationship.
That's what it's all about. And the fact that we're a location in Sandy Springs isn't a limitation. It used to be I bank where I work or I live, but I don't drive to go bank. You don't need to drive to go bank. We have the opportunity for consumers to check their balances with their mobile phone, transfer funds, deposit checks. We have commercial customers that are able to make deposits from their places of business. So technology has allowed us to share the signature experience with prospects and clients that may not be right around the corner. We have some in South Atlanta. We have one that is out of state, and they're scanning their checks, and they're happy. They're getting the signature experience, and they know when they want to contact us or we want to contact them, it's a one-to-one personal relationship. They're not dialing into a call center. They're dialing into their relationship manager.
Now, are your clients mainly individuals who put their personal accounts in your bank, or do you focus on businesses?
We actually, I heard something once that I think is true in the sense that we're greedy bankers. We want it all. And in that respect, that's only because we think that's where we add the most value. Mm. If we're dealing with a business owner and he or she says that my business checking account is here, my business loan is there, my personal mortgage is over there, my personal investments are over there, we're not adding the most value because we're just having the opportunity to consult on a segment of your relationship. We prefer to have a holistic approach that allows us to make appropriate recommendations. And we're transparent. So if there are recommendations that are right for the client but are not something Signature can provide for some reason, we will be very clear about that. But as a community bank, we offer a number of ancillary relationships, payroll, credit cards, the opportunity to process your merchant services, investments. So for most needs, we have a solution.
Now, do your relationships typically start with that individual consumer that's coming in looking for a personal checking account or a mortgage, or does it start with the business owner who brings their business account in there and then it grows from there?
It can vary. It's a great question. The main way with folks like Melanie and Augustus on board, as well as several other team members, is we're introduced to the business and what they are looking to do from a refinance perspective or an expansion perspective. And as we get to know that business and understand that relationship and the loan opportunities, then we progress toward the commercial checking accounts. But again, we don't want to stop there. We want to transcend into the checking accounts of the principals as well.
So I want to give a little shout out to the president of the bank, because when I told our bookers, I want to get some banks in here and talk about small business finance and business finance in general, one of them that I really wanted to talk to was you guys. And what the reason for that is, as I was going through your website, I read the president's letter.
Right.
He put his email in there. He said, if you want to talk, reach out to me. Here's my email. That I fell out of my chair when I saw that, but that must really speak to the whole culture, tone, and approach to serving the community.
That's absolutely true. We have our cell numbers on our business cards.
That's wild.
We're available to assist our clients, and if they want to hand our business card to someone they know as well, they reach directly out to us. So we don't want there to be any obstacles. And when you get back to, again, the question about the difference between the larger banks and Signature, you're probably not able to email the president and CEOs of a lot of other banks.
That's fantastic. Now, Melanie, when you came on board, did that kind of thing surprise you a little bit?
Freddie is one of the main reasons why I came on board. Freddie Deutsch, our president, CEO, is just very approachable. He will go out on calls. We're going on a call as soon as I leave here. And the client says, you are the first lender, because I'm competing with two other banks. He says, you're the first lender coming with the CEO. So that made a big impression.
So now when you're going out to talk to people who are obviously shopping for loans, how do you approach it? How does that relationship even – how do you get in the game? You know, because they're – I guess they go to the usual suspects and you, or they're going to you and the usual suspects? How does that typically play out?
I think most of the seasoned lenders in the marketplace, we've built up a referral network through the years. Mm-hmm. I focused a lot over the last 10 years on commercial real estate brokers, because commercial real estate is one of the big transactions that we fund a lot through the SBA program, because we're able to do 90% financing with a 25-year fully amortizing loan.
Right.
And I get a lot of referrals, and this particular client that we're meeting with today, as a matter of fact, came through a commercial real estate broker. And because they know there's a transaction going on, they know there's a property under contract, and a lot of times they know, one, either they're having a difficult time getting approved with their current lender,
right?
And so they'll get me involved, because a lot of times the borrowers, of course, already have a relationship, but they may want a competitive bid. They may want to just talk to another lender. So we rely a lot on referral sources, I would say.
So you mentioned commercial real – so more, the more commercial real estate brokers you know, the better it is for your business, right?
Absolutely.
And then you serve them by being really efficient and good at your job,
right,
to make their job easier.
Exactly.
Are there any other groups like that that are important as referral sources?
Sure. CPA firms. We work a lot with CPA firms as well. Franchisors.
Help the franchisee,
yep,
get the loans that they need to get their business.
Absolutely.
Up.
So franchise lending is something that we do a lot of through the SBA, because, mm-hmm, again, they are startups, and SBA does allow us to underwrite a loan based on projections, where, mm-hmm, a conventional loan, generally you cannot.
Right.
So that is a good source for us as well.
Now, is there any advantages when you're coming to the table as a community banker? Like, do you get to say, hey, we're a community bank, we're plugged into Sandy Springs, that's an important area
Absolutely.
For us?
Absolutely. And I think, again, just the availability. We're very nimble. Basically, we can work with the client to make sure the loan gets structured correctly and can get back to them with a response very quickly as well.
Now, Charles, is there any advantage if I'm a Sandy Springs business? Is it more advantageous for me to talk to you as opposed to one of these larger national firms? Do I get extra credit for being local? Or are you looking at, you're all looking at the same stuff?
We are very much focused on the Sandy Springs community and beyond, quite honestly, and really have the opportunity to form relationships with folks so that as we foster banking, for example, we're out, we see them in the community, we see them at other events, and they will find, as many of our clients have, that we are highly competitive on the key drivers for decision points. That being said, we are not going to necessarily be the low price provider on every possible solution. That's not a win-win situation. But there will be unmatched service that comes with the very fair competitive pricing that we offer. And when I talk about what's available for the Sandy Springs community, we look at the opportunity to help folks with their goals and their businesses and their dreams, but we also play a role within the community. And Freddie, as well as several on our team and myself, have been a part of boards. We're active in Leadership Sandy Springs with sponsorships and active with the Community Assistance Center, and really feel like with the fact that we're the only community bank headquartered in Sandy Springs, that's our opportunity to forge that partnership. And no one else can say that. And we don't take that lightly. We're thrilled to be a part of the community and welcome the opportunity to do business with folks within that community.
You don't take it lightly. You take it personally, don't you?
We do take it personally. Absolutely. Well stated.
So I want to go back to this, I don't know what the right word is, paradox of technology and personal service, because it seems like you guys have found a way to leverage all the cool, sexy benefits of technology to deliver this very down-home, well-grounded personal service. Can you speak to that a little bit more?
Sure. As you look at how technology plays a role, we realize that it doesn't come down to just one way to bank. For example, a client doesn't say, you can take away a financial center as long as you give me the opportunity to bank on my phone. Or you can take away the person as long as I can scan checks from my office. No, today's client wants it all.
Right, it's not or, it's and.
Absolutely. they want the flexibility to bank when and where they want. And they may only come into a financial center 4 or 5 times a year, but that's important to them. They also want to know that if technology isn't meeting the need for whatever reason and they can't come into the financial center, by golly, I've got a way to contact my relationship manager, and there's consistency within that. We don't have the high turnover that you find in many banks, and so it's not who's my relationship manager for the day. It's who is my relationship manager that's fully engaged in where I am and where I'm headed.
Now, can either one of you share an example of maybe a business that is a Sandy Spring business that you guys ran into? And maybe caught them early on, and where you made an investment in them, they made an investment in you, and you've grown the relationship, and they've kind of grown because of it?
Sure. There was a existing business, and
you don't have to name any names or anything. Just an example of how you guys work together to help.
Absolutely. It was actually a great opportunity for us. They're an existing business, and they were at a crossroads thinking about going into an ancillary line of business and weren't sure how to do that. They had an existing banking relationship, and they had explained what they wanted to do to their current bank, but were welcome to other ideas. And as we got to understand what they were looking for, we were able to craft a solution that was appropriate. And it was, again, not just based on what they brought to the table, but what we envisioned could be a value to them beyond the todays of the world. And we were able to help them forge into that new line of business, help them on their depository relationships. They have actually been with us for 13 months now and are very satisfied. And in fact, we are able to call on them and some others that we have banked as a reference for us. And so that to me is a testament of forging that relationship that's different when someone's mm-hmm. willing to say, let me talk to some of your prospects, and you're able to grow the bank organically.
Well, I'll tell you, the picture that's coming into focus for me is if I'm working with a relationship manager, not only can I get the immediate service within that person's scope of experience and knowledge, but he or she knows what to look for where a bell rings and they say, okay, we got to get you with Melanie.
That's right.
So let's get you some time with Melanie. And beyond the walls of the bank, whether you need that CPA, that's someone you've cultivated a trusted relationship with, or an elder law attorney, or what? It sounds to me like a quarterback or a facilitator or a hub. I mean, is that accurate?
It is. It's funny you say that. I was actually talking to a gentleman that was cutting my hair Saturday, and he said, you know, when I have an HVAC issue, I know who to call. When I have a plumbing issue, I know who to call. You and I need to talk because I have some questions about my building. Should I pay it off now? My personal residence, what should I do? That's where we can add the value. And so when you think about a trusted financial advisor and that quarterback role, if you will, absolutely, yeah. Because we have great resources with Melanie and Augustus and some folks that have been on the team for a little bit longer. So we can meet many of the needs that are out there.
So now if somebody is shopping banks, I mean, that's a prime prospect for you, right? You want to get involved in those conversations?
We absolutely want to be a part of conversation where someone is looking for a partnership, a relationship, if you will, not a transaction. If someone is just looking for the highest CD rate in the Atlanta market, and they want to shop you against the online banks.
Right, and then a year later, they're going to switch again.
Absolutely.
You're not interested in that customer.
Not at all. That's really not our sweet spot for adding mm-hmm. value. That is more on the price situation. And again, we're not going to be the low price leader or on deposits, the high price leader. That's not the value proposition that we offer.
But you're the place to go if you want kind of a partner or an advisor in your trusted advisor team.
Absolutely.
Well, it has been an absolute delight having you guys in the studio this morning, but I want to have you back. And if we want to stay with the football analogy, I want to talk to some of your wide receivers. I think it would be cool to have you come back with some of these trusted advisors.
Maybe somebody, Melanie, that you made a loan to recently.
Sure.
You think they'd come in to talk about how that process went?
Absolutely.
And then together well, you can educate our listeners about what the process really like instead of, you know, because a lot of times this stuff seems overwhelming mm-hmm. because you imagine, you know, piles of paper and you got a job to do and how are you going to find the time to, you know, fill out all the paperwork?
Absolutely.
So you'd be up for that?
Absolutely. And, you know, 80% of all companies qualify for SBA, and a lot of people just think it's small businesses being mm-hmm. under $1 million.
Right.
But actually, the revenues can, you know, be in the 20, actually 30 million or above. The program has increased in size. We can go up to $5 million now through the SBA 7A loan program. There used to be what they called a personal resource test, which has now gone away this month. So you can't have too much liquidity now to borrow an SBA
right.
loan. And so it's a great way to expand your business. And typically, 80% of all the loans that we do are for healthy businesses that are growing and expanding, with a small portion being startups. But again, we do some startups as well.
And then your sweet spot is if there's real estate involved?
Absolutely.
Fantastic. I am so glad that Freddie answers his email. This is Mark. This has been a very informative and inspiring conversation, and I think we're quite sincere in this. I think we ought to we ought to do something like that. Where can our listeners go and learn more in the meantime, maybe set up a conversation with one of your relationship managers, website, email, that kind of thing?
Sure. We'd welcome that opportunity. Our website is www.signaturebankga.com, and I think you'll find it to be probably the most robust community bank website out there, certainly in the Atlanta market. So it's very user-friendly, a number of resources. There's also another website for the SBA, SBA Loans Atlanta, and that is filled with information. When you talk about the perception of overwhelming, for example, that helps to cut out the wheat from the chaff, if you will. So another great resource, SBA Loans Atlanta. And as we make it personal, my direct number is 770-206-5366.
All right. Well, thanks again, and we really will do it soon. You guys going to hang out with us while we visit with our next guest?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Next up on the High Velocity Radio Show this morning, we have with us Lee, the president, the grand poobah, the chief mohawk of ARC3 Communications. Please join me in welcoming to the broadcast Mr. Patrick Burns. How you doing, man?
Good. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So what'd you learn in that last segment? You ready to take out a loan? Because I know a guy.
Well,
and a gal.
Businesses are about cash flow, right? And funding. And now I can, mm-hmm. It was very valuable. And I learned more, as I always do, about that.
All right. So mission, purpose of ARC3 Communications. What are you guys out there trying to do for
sure,
folks?
Yeah. Well, we're a startup agency. We've been around about 2.5 years. We help trade associations and government agencies and campaigns with their content marketing and social media and emerging media needs.
So now, how'd you get into that business?
Well, I started my career as a congressional staffer and got into politics and government and worked for Newt Gingrich and then went into academia for a while and then went with an agency, one of the oldest PR firms in the Southeast, and ran their public affairs practice for almost 10 years.
Well, I bet you've seen an awful lot change in media and communications. And
absolutely,
PR.
Yeah. When I first started, I got a roll of quarters and a pager, and and you talked to reporters at the payphone, and that was on the campaign trail, and that's how things were. And if you covered, if you had your buddies at the print newspaper and the television and radio stations, you were got about 80% of your market, and it was and so things have changed a little bit since then. Yeah, now that
so imagine if you had to pay a quarter for every tweet you send out.
That's right. Yeah,
you'd need more than a loan from these guys.
That's right.
So now, how do you attack this, because it has changed dramatically in the last 5 to 10 years?
Right.
Is there some managing the expectations of your clients that have to be
right,
done?
Right. Yeah. We work a lot with folks who, particularly in the trade association space and the institutional space, who we are really, our passion is helping them update their communications into the digital age.
Right.
And that, you know, what we've seen is a conversion from a traditional marketing model to a what we call content marketing model, where, you know, before it was, you know, direct marketing through print, TV, radio. Now it's producing content on your website and on your social channels and pushing information out that way.
Now, what are some of the associations you work with? Are they all political?
We work with a lot of business associations, mm-hmm. Associations that represent a specific industry. Most of them are, you know, lean towards the center right side of their advocacy, these are folks that really are kind of advocating and protecting their industry in the face of intense regulation and activity from the government. So
I want to talk a little bit about millennials.
What
are they? Who are they? What do
right.
we need to know
yeah.
about them?
It's not any of us here. But,
so not even Kevin.
Kevin, we'll have to ask Kevin. How old are you?
26.
Okay, yeah, he's a millennial.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, these are folks that are, you know, cutoff I think is around 1980 when they were born, and they are they're digital natives, you know, primarily. You know, they
so they grew up with all this.
Yeah, it's you know, it's just part of who they are. You know, they communicate, they learn things through a digital environment, and
well, I guess where my first question is, for instance, our last guest, Signature Bank, do they need to be cultivating relationships with millennials and taking that into account with some of their marketing and their service?
Absolutely. Yeah, we, what we're seeing right now is there's a lot of young folks, millennials, who are getting married, who are moving into homes, who are needing loans.
Well, like Kevin, he'll have a good paying job at some point.
That's right.
I mean, maybe not here. At some point, the guy's going to have a career, right?
That's right. Yeah. The challenge is the old ways of what we were familiar with and communicating is not reaching them. And we had a client, for instance, Cherokee County Government, who realized that they had a lot of young folks who were moving into the community, right, who they could not reach through their traditional marketing. And
so they might have been running ads in newspapers or, you know, doing direct mail, and these people aren't paying attention at all.
But. Right. You know, it's I'm a dad. I've got three kids and one on the way. And my wife, you know, her primary source of information is her smartphone, her tablet. And so, you know, the key to reaching millennials is through that digital environment, through that content, producing content on a website and social channels. And
you can't just take that same content that you would put on the newspaper and then plug it into your phone, right?
Right.
You gotta adjust it to that environment.
Exactly. Yeah. We recommend a lot for clients, you know, one third of their content should be other folks from stuff from other folks, you know, third party kind of leadership stuff. And then one third that they produce. And then one third of their content or social interaction should be interacting with other people on their social networks.
Now, there's a million social media channels and networks out there. How do you match the right channel with the right client?
Right. I mean, that's one of the key things that we help folks with is really understanding what are the different social channels like Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and who are they really trying to reach? And part of the trick here is helping folks understand who their audiences are, right, and what their messages are, and choosing the right platforms.
Just because your wife likes Pinterest, if you're not that might not be the best fit for the golf club, right? Where
exactly.
It might be a better fit for the interior design firm.
That's exactly right. Yeah, you know, Pinterest, for instance, is a classic example of it fits a certain demographic. You know, heavily female, overwhelming. Majority of the folks that use that are female. So if you have a product like a recipe or a cooking product or maybe you're a politician that has a gender gap problem,
that's
the place you need
to
be.
Right.
It's not to be dismissed.
No, not at all.
That's the other piece of it is, may be quick to dismiss, and in their mind it might be this newfangled thing that their sister-in-law is really attracted to, but they may find it can have a real impact on.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, we find that, for instance, with Facebook. Facebook is pretty much your new telephone, your new landline. Almost over 80% of folks are on it now, are on Facebook. So it's a really important place to be. Yeah.
So I want to talk about your engagement cycle if we can. See, because I already know all this stuff, of course, but Lee, he doesn't know this stuff. So let's say you're consulting with an organization like ours or any business. What does that look like from the front end? Walk us through the process. You sit down. You ask us,
what's the pain we're having that I'm going to call you?
Right, the challenge that you're having is your traditional marketing isn't working.
Right, that it may have worked a couple of years ago, but it's just plateaued or it's going down. Results I've been getting.
Right, you're doing direct mail, you're doing print, you're doing maybe even spending a lot of money doing TV or radio advertising, and you're not reaching folks. Primarily that's because millennials and others are getting rid of their cable at a very rapid rate. I know Comcast isn't going to like that, but it's just...
there goes that sponsor.
In fact, our Comcast sponsor.
But they're getting rid of their telephone, mm-hmm. their traditional telephone, their landline. And so, the old direct marketing models are falling away. But what we do is we sit down with folks and it's still... Marshall McLuhan said, the medium is the message. Well, and a lot of people misunderstand it. What he really meant was, yes, the mediums are important, but your message still matters. Who you are still matters, and and what audiences you're trying to reach. And first, we sit down with folks and say, okay, what's your goals? What's your objectives? Really, who are you as a company? Who are you as a trade association? Ironically, we run into this problem with political candidates all the time, and they don't know why they're running for office.
That's a problem.
It's just
that might be a bigger
problem.
It's
kind of an issue, yeah.
And
so, you want to first sit down and say, okay, what is the objective here? What is the goals here? And then we start to begin to look at, how can we really make content marketing, social media work to achieve real world objectives? That's really one thing that it gets lost in the conversation about these platforms.
And so metrics enter the conversation?
Absolutely,
I wouldn't even know how to set metrics, much less capture them and then make decisions from them. So you kind of help.
We help folks say, okay, what are your real-world objectives? What are your goals? What's a return on investment here for you? And then connect those with the social channels and the content marketing and the Google Analytics and the social analytics.
Now, content marketing sounds a little overwhelming. Like, does this require them to all of a sudden be these great writers so they can write this brilliant prose that's going to get people to engage? Like, that seems hard. Like, when trying to run a business too,
right? One of the challenges folks have is making sure that they've got a what we call a content marketing process put in their company. And that they really begin to start to develop content that can help,
Right, because it's not just create content. You have to create content that's compelling to your audience.
Right. And that's, part of that, too, is we generally recommend to folks that, it takes about 5 to 6 months before a content marketing campaign.
That's a pretty big leap, especially for
really
a small
works.
Business.
Yeah, right. It takes some patience.
That's why they need help.
That's right. That's why I need folks like us, right? it requires some patience. It also requires some discipline. And discipline is part of the equation here, too, is that we see a lot of folks have a website and they've set up social media channels and they're spending a great deal of time on them. And it's not working.
So you help them get the most out of maybe some of the assets that they already have in place.
Right. And there's, for instance, going back to our conversation about Pinterest, which is one of the big flavors right now. There's certain times that it's best to post on Pinterest. And it's like, I think to my wife right now, what her schedule is, when the kids are taking a nap, she's got some free time. So, best time to reach young moms on Pinterest is 2 to 4. And then also when the kids go to bed, 8 to 10 o'clock. And then the other great time to reach folks is the moms on Pinterest is Saturday morning when dad's home and on taking care of the kids. So it's it sounds very subjective, but we look at what's called Bitly Data, which is a company that shortens content and it's then shared on social networks. We look at that data very intensely. To see when are the most traffic times as it relates to the platforms.
But first, when a person's contacting you and working with you, you're doing kind of a deep dive research to understand what makes them unique and who their constituents are and how best to find them and communicate with them.
Absolutely.
Right?
We have a strategic planning session, which we sit down with them, learn about their business, learn about their goals and objectives. We then also look at their existing website, look at the analytics on that, and then look at their existing social media channels.
And this isn't a solution that you just go, okay, yeah, and in a week we'll get you where you need to be, and then you set it and forget it and don't have to do it. This is an ongoing relationship that you have to work at all the time.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah, we help them. We put together a content marketing plan for them and then also a process inside their organization and work with them as we go to see them get some results. So.
Well, I'll tell you, this goes back to the trust and relationship thing too, because if I'm going to invest in something and not see tangible return for a while, I have to have a great deal of faith in you to work with and through you. When Lee asked his original question, he said something along the lines of, what is the pain point where I call you? But is that really how it happens? Are people calling you? You got to go out and get them, right? How's the sales and marketing
thing? I mean, part of this too is, part of it right now, particularly in traditional institutions, frankly, they're behind the curb, on understanding the significance of this.
So they're not all saying, where you've been all my life and calling
you.
You've got to have sales
it's
and marketing.
Part of it's educating and going out.
Right.
You know, and